Yeah, I hit that one hit wonder button. It's a crapshoot every time. You just don't know. They're not always winners. 29 minutes after 4 o'clock, it's Downtown Monday afternoon. Time to talk Boston sports. To do that, we turn to Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How's the weather down your way?
Not too bad now. It was rainy and snowy and windy and black, icy everywhere earlier, but it warmed up a little bit. Where we live, though, we're down by the water, and all the roads down by Wells Beach here are completely covered in rocks and seaweed and water, so it was quite a storm.
Yeah, I saw a picture you posted earlier. We haven't had that yet up here, but I guess wind's headed our way. So we'll see. It was an ill wind that blew through the Patriots wrapping up the season on Saturday night. Well, you wrote about it. Is it the worst playoff loss in the Belichick era?
I feel like the Ravens one was still in 2009, where Ray Rice won 83 yards on the first touch, and they were down 24-0 before you knew it, because that team had quit. And it was clear that team had quit, and Belichick cleaned house that offseason. Darius Thomas was gone, Sean Springs, I think Derek Burgess, Gary Guyton, guys like that were let go. And the 2010 team was reloaded and went 14-2 and got knocked off by the Jets in the playoffs, but it was a really, really good team. This doesn't feel quite that bad to me. I think what happened was, in large part, they ran into a team that was more talented than them, that was healthier than them, and had a kid at quarterback who just keeps taking his game to a different level. I mean, Josh Allen runs the ball like young Cam Newton now, and he throws it like young John Elway. And if he's not going to make mistakes and play up to his ability, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do. I'm really interested to see how this game of the Chiefs goes for them, because I think there's a chance that the Bills could end up in the Super Bowl, and that maybe Patriots feel a little bit better about how this went after they see how the Bills postseason goes the rest of the way.
I certainly wasn't surprised that the Patriots lost. I was surprised at the way it went down, and particularly with their inability to stop the run.
Yeah, no suspense with that one. With touchdown, 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 before you know it, I guess we just waited to see if the guy would make the extra point after the 8-play, 70-yard drive that Allen seemed to lead them on every time they got the ball. But yeah, Patriots are dealing with a lot of things. I think part of the issue throwing the ball was Juwan Williams is just unplayable. He was a terrible pick in 2019. They traded up to get him. This is a guy who has 40-something tackles and has never created a turnover in his NFL career in 36 games in 3 years. And they had to play him because Jalen Mills was out with COVID. They made the increasingly curious decision to trade Stephon Gilmore for a 6th-round pick. Kind of an unheralded loss this year to their roster. We talk about James White and losing him on the offense, but Jonathan Jones is a really good slot corner, and they missed him. You remember the first Bills game, Miles Bryant made a play at the end of the game that helped the Patriots win. And then in the second game, he wore a bullseye, and it was Isaiah McKenzie came into that game with 7 catches, and I think he ended up with 11 and just lit up Bryant the whole game. So they're pretty depleted there. I don't think there are as easy reasons for the inability to stop the run. I mean, they lost Bentley partway through the game, and he's been there leading tackler almost every week lately, but Hightower appears to have gotten old. The traffic was all around him, and there was nothing he could do about it. But it doesn't really justify why the defensive line struggled so much. I know Barmore's playing with a knee injury, but you expect more out of like Lawrence Guy, who's there to be a run stopper, and Godshow, and they just didn't get it. I mean, it was a collective failure all the way around, but it definitely leads you into the off season trying to correct a lot of things and figuring out how to do that.
Well, one of the reasons that didn't cause the loss, one of the players that didn't cause the loss, was Mac Jones. He was very solid. I thought really competed well, made some big plays. They had some crucial drops. It certainly wasn't his fault. So where are we? Is the jury still out on what the Patriots have in that quarterback?
I don't think so. You know, my colleague Ben Volen likes to troll people a little bit. I just checked my Twitter feed right before I came on, and he was tweeting Shaughnessy's column about Belichick's sons being nepotism cases. So that sort of thing, you know, he kind of leans into it a little bit anyway. It's what he does. But he tweeted yesterday, the Patriots would have been a better team with Garoppolo this year. I don't believe that. I was convinced that Garoppolo was the guy they were going after. They were waiting for the Niners to release him. Never happened, and you know, they end up using the 15th pick on Jones. I think you go back. He probably gave them everything that Garoppolo would have, and a little bit more. His final statistics are very good for rookie quarterback: 67% completion. You know, well over 3,000 passing yards, and you know, he's going to work at it. He's got the respect of his teammates. He's limited by his arm strength. We see that, but he's accurate as hell for the most part, and he's going to get better. So I know it's frustrating to look at that game and see what Josh Allen can do physically and see that Jones lacks some of those attributes and he's never going to have them. But you can also look at him and watch his highlight reel from the season and say, yeah, we're in a pretty good spot with this quarterback, especially because he's on a rookie contract for 4 years. So unlike if you had Garoppolo here, you have more room to get him some help and sign some valuable free agents to beef up this offense.
So what do they need, and who has likely played their last game as a Patriot?
Yeah, it's really tough this year. You know, you've got some pretty legendary Patriots that could be on the way out. I mean, McCourty's going to be 35 next year. That's old for a football player who doesn't play a position where you're reliant on speed. He's still a good player, still valuable, not really a turnover machine playmaker, but one of those guys is always on the right spot, and he led them in tackles, which probably isn't what you want from your safety, but he was a leading tackler against the Bills once the Bills kept getting into the secondary. Matthew Slater, who should be a Hall of Famer. If you're going to put a special teams player in the Hall of Fame, Steve Tasker probably belongs in, and Matthew Slater belongs right there. He sounds like a guy who is leaning toward retiring. And then the Hightower, I mean, Allen, and we saw Jonathan Taylor do it on his long clinching run in the Colts game, and just has really struggled to get the angle. And he looks like somebody whose best days are well behind him. They need an upgrade of speed at linebacker. I watched this kid, Devin White, for the Buccaneers. He was the fifth pick in the draft a couple of years ago. Real super high-end prospect, dominant player, could have been Super Bowl MVP last year. And you just dream of having a player like that or finding that kind of speed that's a linebacker. I think that's the biggest issue on defense, is their linebackers seem to have slowed down at once.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Of all these silly hot takes that were out there floating around before the game, I think it was the guy who hosts the Bills pregame show who was very bold in his prediction that after the Bills won, Bill Belichick would walk away. I thought then, I think now, that there is less than zero chance of that.
Yeah, he pretty much told us yesterday morning he's going to be back. I mean, he didn't say, yeah, I suppose there's a 1% possibility of wiggle room that, you know, he could go become Grand Poobah of the Giants or something like that. But I don't know why anybody would want to get involved with that organization at this point in time, especially, you know, he's older. And that's a long rebuild there. They don't have a quarterback or really much else. So I as much as the New York tabloids want to turn that as something as possible, it seems pretty close to impossible to me. I think Bill likes this team still, even though, you know, went down the drain at the end with four wins and four losses in their last five. He likes Mac a lot. He likes a lot of the guys he's brought in terms of how they help the roster now and in the future. Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, they're adamant they're going to get something out of Jonnu Smith next year. So, and, you know, Judon, before whatever happened, he got hurt. Whether the COVID had an impact on him, he had it twice in 18 months. He was a defensive player of the year candidate for 12 weeks and then fell off a cliff. But I think overall, Bill feels really good about this roster and is probably looking forward to getting back next year.
You think there's any chance they would bring Joe Judge back?
Yeah, I do. I think it wouldn't shock me if Cam Accord is on its way out. We saw him kind of arguing with Belichick at halftime going off the field Saturday night, and it's just been one thing after another. I mean, three block punts, that hasn't happened since the 70s to a team. You know, guys, the Lawrence Guy lining up in the neutral zone a couple weeks ago, one thing after another. And you look at his resume, I mean, you know, people talk about Steve Belichick and his dad giving him a job and all that stuff. He hires coaches with very limited backgrounds sometimes, or small school backgrounds. I mean, and you look at Cam Accord's background, it's a very small school, and you kind of look at it and say, well, how did he get in this position? What was the connection with Belichick? And unfortunately for him, you hate to lay it all on somebody, but he's the coach, and this special teams has been a disaster and hasn't repaired it for most of the season. So it wouldn't shock me if there's a change there.
I guess I'm not really a good person, Chad. This may come as no shock to you, but I took great joy in the way that Cowboys game ended yesterday.
Yeah, I did too, because I don't like Mike McCarthy.
No, I don't either.
I watched the Hard Knocks with him, and he's one of those guys who tries to act like a football coach. I don't know what it is, but it's like a macho thing, or it feels like he's playing a character. You know, he grew up in Pennsylvania, and he thinks he has to behave like Mike Ditka or Kirk Knoll or somebody like that. And guys see through that. If you're a fraud or a fake or someone who's just not being their authentic self and feel like you have to put on some sort of air, professional athletes see through this. This is grown men. This isn't college football. That was one of the issues with Urban Meyer, the stuff he could hang over people's heads at Ohio State you can't do to an NFL player. And I just feel like Mike McCarthy is somebody who is in over his head and desperately trying to convince people that he wasn't. And I thought it was kind of cowardly of him to make that sort of snide remark about, well, it's what our analytics people told us to do. You
right.
know? Are you being serious or are you not? And if you are being serious, way to take responsibility. And if you're not, well, you know, what's the point of saying that anyway? It's not funny. So I don't know. He's lucky he had Aaron Rodgers for all those years and got him one Super Bowl. But I'd be surprised if he's employed with the Cowboys much longer.
I saw a few people commenting on Romo late in the game and suggesting that he was pulling for the Cowboys. I certainly didn't interpret it that way at all. And I thought he called them out for that really bad play call at the end.
Yeah, I watched that. I had to switch over to that because my daughter was watching the Nickelodeon broadcast. I switched over afterwards, and I record all the NFL games on YouTube TV. It's pretty much the only reason I have YouTube TV is you can record as much as you want. So if there's anything broadcast-wise I missed, I can go back and watch it. And I thought he was really good. He right before that play, he said something like, you got to have your right play in mind. You can't go to the middle of the field. You can't run. Get to the sideline, even if they're, and then, you know, Dak runs right up the middle. And him and Nance were immediately all over it. I think Nance started going, oh no, you know, like they knew that they weren't going to have time. And you watch a broadcaster who has a hard time breaking things down in real time. And that was Drew Brees with the whistleblowing in the Bengals game where he didn't really say anything for about 10 minutes. It makes you appreciate somebody like Romo, who's still a little bit over the top, probably isn't quite as prepared as he used to be, but he sees everything on the field, and his greatest strength is being able to identify that and explain it to the viewers in a really concise way.
All right, so Chad, with the Patriots out of the picture, what would you like to see for a Super Bowl matchup?
I wouldn't mind seeing the Bills, actually. I mean, I know Patriots fans probably don't appreciate the stomping that they got Saturday night, but Allen was just so good. It's a legitimately likable fan base. I mean, you know, they have this habit of donating to the charities of opposing players that come in there and do great things against them. It's just a sort of a cool little tradition that they have. And, you know, they lost those Super Bowls in the Kelly years, so. I wouldn't mind seeing them make a pretty good run here, at least shake things up. And I don't find the Chiefs very likable, so I wouldn't mind seeing them get knocked out. And you know, as much as I like Tom Brady and Gronkowski, I don't know if I can take another year of Bill screwed this up. Why did he undermine Tom? And not taking away Tom, not accounting for Tom's thinking in the whole thing either. So I can't root for the Bucs to go back to back.
So you want Jimmy Garoppolo there so people can talk about that.
Well, no, geez, then we'd say, why didn't Belichick get trade Jimmy? And I wouldn't mind seeing the Niners make a run. I like the Niners, and anybody who knocks out the Cowboys in crushing fashion is okay with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I did enjoy it, and they ran some of it on the pregame show yesterday when they had Gronk mic'd up in the regular season finale and him commenting to Brady and others about needing to get one more catch so he could get his bonus.
Yeah, they were all over that. Yeah, and Arians tried to take Brady out of the game, and Brady was well aware of. You know, I thought that was kind of a bleep view at Antonio Brown, too, because a big issue with him was that he realized during that game that he wasn't going to get his bonuses. He kind of revealed that in that podcast he was on a couple days later. So I think there was an element there of Brady making sure Gronk got that. But they did that when Gronk was on the Patriots. I remember whatever his record-setting season was, Bill left him in the game to get the reception yardage record for a tight end. And, Brady's always kind of been involved in making sure his guys get the money that they could have coming to them.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hey, Chad, appreciate it. As always, have a good rest of your week, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, go Niners and Bills.
There you go. Chad Finn with us here on Downtown.